This is Greg Olson, here to tell you about my new podcast, TE1. On the show, I had a chance to talk to my fellow tight ends who have revolutionized the position from an extra lineman to a dual threat superstar. And just like my guests have changed the game, this year, NFLSundayTicket.tv is revolutionizing your NFL viewing experience. Stream all the live out-of-market NFL games every Sunday on your favorite devices and never miss a moment from your favorite players. Visit NFLSundayTicket.tv and use the promo code GREG88 at checkout and get 15% off your subscription. That's NFLSundayTicket.tv and the promo code GREG88. Subscribe to TE1 and get NFLSundayTicket.tv, an unmatched dual threat.
Welcome everybody once again. Sopranos podcast. As always, I'm Joe Spellman, and this is
Dave Schutternick,
and this is
Augelius.
And hey, we got a special episode today. Dave, why don't you go take it away and introduce our illustrious guest?
Oh, thanks, Joe, for the weird fucking
I thought that was pretty tight. I thought
you
that was pretty.
Joe,
I didn't.
Don't let Dave tell you you're not doing well. You did well, man.
It was a little Pat Sajak-ish.
Oh, okay.
Dave, why don't you let
I thought it was pretty tight and not rambling like my usual intro.
That's true.
Yeah, man. Hats off.
That's
so
a valid
why don't you
point.
Go fuck yourself and introduce our guests, okay?
Yeah, maybe I will. We've been trying to get this guy on for a few weeks now. I'm happy that he's with us. His name is Dan Schrader, but a lot of you may know him better as Time Immemorial on Instagram and Twitter and Reddit and, you know, wherever memes are passed around.
Yeah, Facebook.
Dan, welcome to the podcast.
Hey, man, it's an honor to be joined by men. I'm glad that we could finally get this done. Yeah,
That's right.
Usually it's me doing the postponing. You did some of it yourself, too, so I don't feel too bad.
Yeah,
but, you know,
we felt even.
We all said another time, Anthony, at some point.
Yes.
I know that you live in Baltimore, but are you from Maryland originally, or are you from the Northeast?
No, I'm born and raised in Baltimore. I did spend some time overseas. I'm an Army brat without having, you know, a father in the Army, but spent some time overseas. But I've been in the same neighborhood for, you know, I'm 35 for most of my life.
Very nice. We have a good friend in Annapolis, so we've spent some time.
Oh, cool.
Down there, and my folks lived in College Park.
Very cool.
Like many years ago, like during Watergate.
Oh wow.
but because of that, we would always go down to Maryland a lot because they had an affinity for cracking crabs. So
yes, that's the one thing that we got. Virginia's tried to take it from us, I think, a couple of different times. Is like the crab state is like Maryland's bigger than it looks, though. I mean, it takes a long time to drive across it. You know, Rhode Island, you go up there, it's like an hour. You're through the state.
Yes.
It takes about like 6 or 7 hours to get through.
Right.
Maryland, but yeah, we love our crabs. What can I say?
Hey, they're the good kind too.
I'm surprised coming from Baltimore, you fell in with the Sopranos fandom as opposed to our rivals, The Wire.
That's right.
Look, I love The Wire. I get to pass by shots from that show all the time. That's probably my number two. But yeah, I know.
Same, actually.
it's definitely like the 1B. I just rewatched it a few weeks ago. Finished that. But you know, Sopranos is really a crazy story. I've told the story 100 times, but I've never really like delved into it. So I mean, if you got time, I can certainly start.
Please,
we have time. It's a pandemic. We have time.
Right. Well, yeah. Well, Dude, it was weird. Like Facebook, when I was on there at the beginning, when I can remember this, this is like 12 years ago, maybe closer to 15. Wow. There used to be pages that were fan run, but they were named after a character in a show or a movie. So you would get these Tony Soprano accounts. No one knew who was running them. They were just a fan account. You had the ability to post stuff, but no one really had any plans. I ended up following, and I don't even know how I found it, but I started following a page called like Anthony John Soprano, because that was his full name. Mm-hmm. I really don't know how I stumbled upon it, but it had like 10,000 followers or likes or whatever. I think it was followers back then, yeah. Strictly followers. And one day the guy posted, you know, I don't have time to run this page. Does anybody want it? And long story short, I mean, like I sent him a very, very concise email about why I was, you know, eligible and qualified to run the page, just based on the amount of times I'd seen the show, like front and back, yeah. And all that kind of stuff, and proved it that way. And I guess I blew this guy away, because he gave it to me, and I only used it for posting screenshots of the show, YouTube links, maybe a quote here and there. Like once a week, I remember it was like, oh, this is a cool hobby. I have 10,000 followers where we all love Sopranos.
Right.
And dude, it's just from there, it's just meeting people, networking online, you know, internet beefs and stuff like that, you know, which is so strange, that world. But,
So did that page morph into Time Immemorial? Was that like the genesis of Time Immemorial kind of, or is that, yeah, was that a separate page entirely?
Well, dude, okay. So I hate to give these guys free pub, but I'll just tell you the story. I'm sure someone will hear it at some point. Mm-hmm. It's not something I've gone out publicly and said anything about.
Oh, shit. We're getting scooped.
It's just so, damn, it's so ridiculous.
You hear this, listeners?
It was a hobby, like I said. I was just posting stuff. I remember being at a Christmas party at my house. We have the same thing like every year. And I was talking to someone else, another one of my friends who likes The Sopranos, but no one around here. I've maybe like two or three friends that love the show, but they're not into it at the level that I am still. Mm. And yeah. They were over and I was talking to him. I'm like, dude, you know what's crazy? He's like, I inherited the Sopranos page, and like, you know, like watch, I can just post something and like everybody's gonna love it. And when I went to go search for Sopranos, I just noticed there was another page, and I was like, oh wow. And I like investigate it. There's a group, and I'm like, oh wow, they have like 20,000 people in here. And I've like joined it, and I bring my friends in, you know, we start posting and sharing. And then one day I get booted out, and I'm like, what happened? Like I the page still exists, but I can't find the group anymore. I message in and I get told by somebody, I'm not going to mention any names in this, but I get told by somebody.
No, mention them.
I wish I could. I mean, like, I wish I had that in me to that like spite. I really don't like, it's crazy because this is where it all started and is how it's gotten me here to SopranosCon, which is just like a very mind blowing short few years. Yeah. But these guys were like, oh, I try to be an admin of your page. You blew me off. So I created this one. You know, like, we don't like want you around here. We're the best page. Don't compete with us. Like laughable shit. You know, like, yes, like very laughable. Like, dude, like really, you're gonna tell me I can't like run a page for like a show that I love? So at that point, that was like, okay, you know what? This is not like a, you know, whatever. I can showcase my fandom as much as anybody else. So I revamped the page. Like I called it Time Immemorial, and you know, I just started doing it more frequently, like what I was doing before, just more frequently trying to find rare photos and mm-hmm. make my own art. I mean, I went to school for graphic design, so a lot of it
that makes kind of sense.
Stems from there with the artwork. So I, at one point, like I remember telling my friend, like, you know, what can we do that's different than every other page that's out there? Because by this point, you know, there were at least 3, 4, 5 different fan pages out there. So it's like hard to do nothing more than like what's already been done.
Right.
And I remember telling my friend, like, you know, have you heard of a meme? Like, do you know what a meme is? And he's like, yeah, I think so. And I'm like, you know, it's like a picture and like a caption box at the top. And it's just like a commentary. And he's like, yeah, I think I know what you're talking about. I'm like, well, what if we started doing that to Sopranos? I was like, it's very like, there's so much comedic depth in this show. Like we could probably, you know, appeal to other fans who are in the same boat as us, because like we're, you know, like I said, I'm 35, we're this time pretty young, love the show.
What year
grew
was
up
this
on
around?
It. This is probably like, I want to say like 5 years ago,
three to five,
somewhere in that neighborhood.
Gotcha.
And I went on Instagram just as a, let's see what else is out there. Kind of where can I find content that no one else has? And I find Sopranosgram. I remember I saw like two memes that had me like crying. I was in a position where I couldn't laugh very loud. So it was like, I'm holding it in. I had never seen anything like the Pauly starter kit before. I was very I was like, holy shit. Like, I can't believe there's other people out here thinking like this. And they've been probably going for a year or whatever.
Right.
And I reached out to them like, hey, I had already been on Instagram like a year or two prior as a hobby as the daily villain. And I was trying to find like a new bad guy every day to do some digital artwork for. That got old after like less than a year, you know? And so I stopped doing that. And I was familiar with the territory, but once I saw what they were doing, I approached them like, your stuff's like laugh out loud funny. Like, I want permission to post it on Facebook, you know, like I want to be able to credit you. And we worked out an arrangement where I had him listed as my Instagram account and he had me listed as his Facebook, you know? So we were like kind of cross promoting each other for a while. And,
I definitely found out about you like through Sopranosgram.
Yeah, they're great. Yeah. John and Justin, they're really cool.
John's a good people. Dude. We've had him on the pod.
Friend of the pod. A friend of ours.
Do you want to talk any shit about him or?
Actually, like, that was what's funny is that like I asked him permission to like share his stuff, and then eventually a year later I'm getting tired of Facebook. I'm like, dude, I need permission to come back on Instagram. Like, I'm not trying to take away like your quote your territory. You know, like I wasn't trying to like step on any toes. So.
No, I think your accounts complement each other well, because like yours are more like sort of like Photoshop based and sort of like I don't want to say more straightforward comedy. Like John's are like a little darker and a little like abstract. Yeah. Like,
dude, it's just funny. You know? I mean, think about how many years we've been doing this, and there's been crossover before where it's like, oh shit, like, you know, like you just posted this, like look what I posted like 3 years ago, 4 years ago. And it's oh man, like usually we're pretty good at remembering that stuff. And it's like, oh man, like that happens occasionally, but you would think it happened more often.
Yeah.
Just based on how much is like there from the show. But yeah, I mean, he showed me where the memes could go. It was the Pauly walnuts, and it was the Phil grilled cheese radiator.
Oh yeah.
I was like, oh my God, like now I see like where this can go. Yep. So he definitely opened that path up for me. So I have no shit to talk about John, John boy, but yeah.
All right. If you remember something like, but you know, by the end of the app that like you hate about him.
Yeah. I'll definitely remember,
you know, he's a friend of ours. He's a friend of ours. So, you know, yeah, you can talk shit about him. Very good guy. Very good guy. Were you watching the show when it was initially on, or did you find the show, you know, near the end of its run or after it already ended?
Oh, that's another one that people hate about, you know, like, oh, you're a Sopranos fan base leader, but you weren't watching it live like all along. I tried. I did watch some of it live, just not all of it. Like when I didn't have HBO growing up.
Same.
I was into movies, you know, not TV shows because that's how it was. And someone told me about Sopranos. I was like, dude, that sounds like Analyze This. Like, why do I want to watch that and get invested in that? And,
fucking comedy.
Right. Exactly. Right. And, you know, my best friend growing up, like he used to watch it with his dad every night, and I don't know when they started, but one night I just stumbled over there and I saw them watching it. And I got like 45 minutes taste. And I was like, dude, I got to watch this show.
Do you remember what episode it was?
I believe it was season 4, maybe 3 at this time. Well, think of it this way. The next day I called him and I'm like, what episode, if I didn't want to start at the beginning and I just want to like gauge one more time, like, is this my show? Like, is this show for me? Cause he knew that I was into like the whole mob thing and rooting for the bad guys, just like been one of those things I've been doing since I was a kid. So he knew that. And he was like, dude, if you really want my opinion, start at The Wait. And it was like,
I thought you were going to say Pine Barrens.
Right.
Yeah.
That could have been one, but he said that one, I was in Blockbuster. They had a previewed, you know, video set, like a VHS
That's how I watched it the first time, VHS. Yeah.
So I caught up to season 5 and I started watching it live on from season 5, but I was with like Fraternity Brothers in season 5. I was with, you know, like Crowded Houses in 6, right. You know, so
yep.
I,
yep.
I think I like fully digested the show, like just going on like eBay and like buying like a DVD season packs so, at like extreme discounts at like, you know, 40, 50 bucks. Now you can buy them for like 20
right.
less, you know, new. So I binged it for sure. And I've just been on it ever since, man.
Nice. Do you have, I know this is like the most obnoxious question, but do you have a favorite ep?
Test Stream is my favorite episode.
I love it, man.
Is it yours too, Paul?
It's up there for me, but so many people shit on the episode. Like, I respect somebody who just comes out and says, like, that's my favorite episode. I love it.
And I love all the Dream stuff in the show. Yes. But since Test Stream is predominantly a Dream, the whole episode. Same, you know, I want to say it's Join the Club and Mayhem are great episodes, I think, for that reason, too. Yep. I mean, that's what got me into the show. It wasn't just like a mob guy starring in a leading role. It was that, like, dude, like, we get to like hear him in a shrink's office. Right. And like seeing those types of like insights like get translated into very, very realistic dreams on screen for me the first time, I was like, wow, like this is awesome. Because I'm just into that. Yep. You know, but I do love Pine Barrens. I have nothing against it. I just think that if you use that episode as a basis to refer a friend to it, they're going to be supremely disappointed, you know, like when they start at season one and go all the take them that point, they're gonna be like, well, that's like the only episode that in a vacuum that's really like kind of standalone.
Right.
But it's a great, I remember the first time I saw it. I mean, I was howling. So it's a great episode.
Same.
Yep.
But totally different feels from like the first season. And actually, I would say the first season just has a totally different vibe than any of the other seasons. So if you start like Pine Barrens and then go back, you're going to be like, what show am I watching? Especially the pilot.
No, exactly. Yeah. Right. The pilot too. Dude, I rewatched it once this quarantine. I think I paused it in the middle of the second. But yeah, that like first two seasons, really.
Yeah.
I feel like they're still kind of like getting their style down.
Yeah. Yeah. We've talked about that a lot here. Like just
three is really like, I feel like where it kicks in, like really kicks in, I mean, it's not to say it's not all great. It's just that when you remember the show, you kind of remember it for me, like after three and after it's like, wow, it's like, it really becomes like really masterful
for sure.
Television.
Yeah. You got to remember like back then the first two seasons were like mind blowing for that time. Like there wasn't television like that. Now, like every dramatic prestige show sort of has that quality.
We've had Breaking Bad and Ozark and, you know, all the like anti-hero shows to follow.
Mad Men.
They're great. I mean, look, they're great. I love them as much as the next one. The biggest difference for me is that it's they're all Breaking Bad all the way to what the last one you said, Ozark. I mean, like, and everything in between, they're very much like you're presented with a problem like right away. Mm-hmm. Then you spend the remainder of the first episode like trying to solve that problem. And once you do, a bigger problem comes along. And now this just repeats over and over and over and over again. And it's not like it's not great, but like, I mean, like for me, Breaking Bad, just like the replay value, when you know there's like this huge buildup to something that you already know is gonna happen.
Right.
You know, like it's not like about a grand reveal, like the show, once you've seen it and you just want to watch the show at night, you can put on any episode and they kind of stand alone as a movie and you don't really need to, the value of the replay stuff is really not about like, oh, so something huge happened here this episode and you watch it. It's not the same kind of slow build, but great shows though. It's just something that
it's
can't really be.
Show. Yeah. Yeah, I think that's spot on.
You guys liked Ozarks though? I just finished watching that.
I wasn't crazy about the second season, but I really liked this.
That's
last
what
season.
I've heard of. I've seen the first season. I was like moderately into it. Then I heard the second season wasn't great, so I didn't get into it. And now I heard the third season is like phenomenal. So
it's Breaking Bad on steroids.
Yeah. You counted on restaurants. Now they're counting on you. And while their dining rooms may be closed, they're still open for delivery with DoorDash. DoorDash is the app that brings you the food you're craving right to your door. Ordering is easy. Open the DoorDash app, choose what you want to eat, Maron, and your food will be left safely outside your door with the new contactless delivery drop-off setting. choose from your favorite national restaurants like Chipotle, Wendy's, and the Cheesecake Factory. Many of your favorite local restaurants are still open for delivery too. Just open the DoorDash app, select your favorite local spot, and your food is on its way. Easy, easy, easy. Right now, our listeners can get $5 off and zero delivery fees on their first order of $15 or more when you download the DoorDash app and enter code BLUEWIRE, one word, BLUEWIRE. That's $5 off and zero delivery fees on your first order when you download the DoorDash app in the App Store and enter code BLUEWIRE. Don't forget, that's code BLUEWIRE for $5 off your first order with DoorDash. So I want to ask, because this is the same feeling I had with the success of Seinfeld, where I thought a lot of the humor in the show was based on sort of like a connection to like the Northeast and like, you know, primarily like culturally Italian Americans, Jewish Americans, like in that area of the country. And I was always like amazed that Seinfeld was like a hit show, because like to me it was a lot of the humor was like stuff that was just like funny to
very New York,
New York Jews.
Yeah.
Do you have like relatives like in the Northeast or?
No, I don't. But I mean, now I do. I mean, now after doing this whole thing, I've met so many people and I can see why like they hold it in such high esteem. But that's kind of like the beauty and miracle of the show is that. I mean, if you really like comb through the fan base, there's people in Australia and Japan and Russia and everywhere, and they like just heavily relate to this show.
Yeah,
I mean, it's like it's so all that, and I think it's a level of authenticity and like, you know, kind of fantasy at the same time. You know, so if you're from out of town and you see this stuff, it's like, oh, like places like this really exist, huh? And then when you go there, I mean, you're just like, oh, like they were actually like basing this off like real behavior and real. So I mean, it's gotten deeper for me the more I've had to investigate the show. Now I do have a lot of, you know, different Italians in my life growing up, but they it wasn't like Sopranos. Yeah. So
how did Sopranos Con like come about? Like, I'm sure you've told this story a million times now, like, especially probably at Sopranos Con, you probably had to tell the story a million times, but
it's still like, I mean, yeah, I've no problem. I mean, like, it's really an amazing story. As much as I like to gloss it over, I mean, it just started, like I said, on spending the last 10, 12 years building this fan base. Mm-hmm. You know, between Facebook and Instagram and now Twitter and, like you said, Reddit, YouTube is now what we're trying to like get into. But I mean, it's just been it started as a fan community. And so that's why I've always been open to using other people's content from the community that I laugh at, you know, like, so if I laugh at it, I'm assuming other people will too. Right. And I'm just trying to spread the legacy of the show. Mm-hmm. You know, some people might not agree with that. Sometimes it's like, people don't understand memes, but I'm only trying to prove now that the show can be tied into something relevant going on now at all times. And even though the show has been over, there's usually a way to tie it in something in pop culture that we can all relate to. So that's why it's so niche, like finding these fans.
Yeah.
But
yep.
So I get messages, you know, like, as you can imagine, like all the time, and it's great. I mean, I love all the fans that have supported and followed me across platforms and send me memes in their free time. I mean, like, that stuff's usually like the oasis in my week.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, yeah.
But someone who ended up being Soprano Sketches, you know, he messaged me, or he might've been tagging me in something. And I saw that he had a business, and I just reached out like asking if he needed help, you know, like, do you want me to push out something for you? And he was like, you know, actually I have this idea and I want to be able to like talk to you on the phone about this. And this is the first time that had ever happened to me. It's like, no one usually wants to talk to me on the phone. I'm like, okay, well, I mean, like, I'm actually coming up to New York, and this is why it was so weird, is that like at the same time I was going up to see a screening of Not Fade Away, which is David Chase's other directorial. And it was like a weekend of me meeting some people for that I had met online that were from New York, from New Jersey. And we were going to go on the Sopranos tour during the day, then go to the screening at night. And then after, it was supposed to be a Q&A with David Chase. And that turned into a Q&A with Steven Van Zandt and like, I forget, like one of the people that wrote Soprano Sessions. Mm-hmm. One of the, I think the lead kid was actually there too. So it was just a, it was a different night than we anticipated.
Right.
Right. But when we met up for the first time, we were like, you know, we could do something like this with the fans, you know, but maybe there's a way to get a cast member or two involved and we can just have like a get together, like a, you know, just like a party, like a
meetup kind of thing. Yeah.
Like a meetup. Yeah. Maybe we could get them there and they would, you know, do an interview, Q&A, like sign some autographs, that kind of thing. But I'm thinking like so small scale. Soprano Sketches couldn't be there that weekend, but on the way home, I think we spoke and he's like, look, I have an idea. I've been developing it for 3 or 4 years. Let me send it to you. And then we'll talk. So he sends me, and I don't know what to expect here, but he sends me this like book, like literally like a huge work pamphlet. And it was Sopranos Con, but it was like a bunch of different like interactive, like 3D games, like that kind of stuff. Like a very like, just a very immersive experience. And I went back to him like, dude, you can't like, we can't do this, right? I mean, it's awesome, but we can't like go through the Pine Barrens. We can't like shoot a bow and arrow and do this other stuff. And he's like, no, I mean, if we have the funds for it and the people behind it, we can certainly do it. You know, this is what I do. He's like, I build, you know, sets at conventions and sets for other things. I own a print shop. I do merchandise. I do everything like in that world. So it can be done. It's just about like finding the right people to get behind it. And I'm like, well, I think it's a great idea. And I think there's enough fans out there to support this, but I don't know the first thing about getting cast members. I mean, like I have a few, like I think Robert Eiler's mom was in my group at the time and she found me in another Facebook group, like defending AJ's character because everyone's always like, oh, AJ's a bitch. AJ. Like, fuck him. Yeah, like, yeah. I'm like, dude, he's like the most misunderstood character in the show. Like, blah, like I'm going on like a rant. So she's in there. I think like we had some other people like John Bianco, like just not like bigger names at this time.
Right.
And like I remember seeing a flyer in my group that was like, hey, if anyone's around this weekend, it was like on a Friday, it was like, if anyone's around tomorrow at like 1 o'clock, come to Rhode Island and you can meet Furio, you can meet Big Pussy, you can meet Patsy and Jackie Jr. I'm like, dude, if I had known about this a week ago, I probably would have made that trip. Yeah. But yeah, I couldn't. This is like a year prior to me talking to Joe or Soprano Sketches. Mm-hmm. And at this point, I just decided to comb back through like the history of the script. I mean, there's like 20,000 people in there. And I spent all this time, like just looking through, like searching keywords, maybe like an hour before I found this post. I'm like, okay, now I at least know who I can ask to, maybe he'll tell me how we got those guys. Right. 'Cause they obviously came at a price or something. And once he heard the idea, he's like, look, man, this was Michael Mata is who it turned out to be. He's been like the best guy to have on your side for the last like, you know, year or so. Mm-hmm. But he came to me like, dude, like I have a relationship with Federico who plays Furio. And let me, if you give me a blessing that if I can get him on board, you know, and be a partner in this thing, I can really, this is what I do. I do events. I'm a marketer. And I'm a huge fan of the show. Like I've had Sopranos events at my venue. If you let me in on this, I'll tried my best. And I'm like, okay, we didn't know what to expect. But I mean, again, like I had never met Joe. Mm-hmm. I had never met this guy, but he's in Rhode Island. I'm in Baltimore. Joe's in New York. So we're like close, but we're not like in the same area. Right. And I remember he was like, I have it all planned out already. Like I thought about this. It's like, we can go either to the Meadowlands or we can go to the place where Johnny Stack's daughter got married and go like real, real themed out. And I was like, it's called the Meadowlands. And he's like, yeah, that's like the only thing really available is in November. Like the whole year is already booked out. This is like the middle of January in 2019. And we're like, well, I mean, what's the next step? I didn't really even think this was going to happen. I thought we were just kind of be like, oh yeah, too much work. Let's just go our separate ways at this point. Yeah.
Yeah.
Great idea. But right. Like not something. And all of a sudden he's like, oh, I'm going to go check it out on this weekend. And Federico is going to be there and I already talked to the people who rent the space, they're holding it for us, et cetera. And I still didn't really know what to think, but I remember sitting in that room, like, dude, like until Furio walks through those doors, like, I don't think that any of this is actually going to happen. Like I'm just going to have to follow this as long as I possibly can. And sure enough, when he walked in, I was like, I looked at Joe like, oh shit. Like at least now I know he wasn't just talking shit this whole
real
time.
Deal. Yeah.
Right.
But from there, it just turned into like, oh, like I know this guy, like this guy is following me, like mm-hmm. that guy knows somebody else. And then people were like hearing about the idea. I think when we started this whole thing, it was just Furio and it might have been the horse, Pyomai. It might have been just those two people. We're like, Sopranos Con, horse yeah. and Furio. So, but people bought into the idea that they understood that we were just still progressing and we were going to be signing people along the way. And
that was, that was the real Pyomai?
That was the real Pyomai.
You can, you can tell me. It was
no,
it was
I really swear funny. To God. I mean, that's how we found her. I mean, like she came to us like, dude, you're doing Sopranos event. Like I've never been invited to anything. Like, you know, like, well, that's because you have a horse. I mean, like, what are they going to do? Like take her to the Emmys.
Right.
Yeah. But it was like, wow, if we can get Furio and we can get the horse, I mean, think about all the people in between, like we could really make this the experience that's like in, and we all like creative people. So we all had ideas and we wanted to do build outs. We wanted to do contests and yeah. all kinds of different stuff and entertainment wise, but we didn't know we were going to have 55 cast members. Right. I mean, people, like right. I said, people started coming to us and it got to the point where we finally would get answers from people like high up in the food chain. Mm-hmm. And at this point now it's like we can't even afford them, you know? Right. So like some people like we had to like not include just because there wasn't anything we could do about it, you right. know, like that right. we wished that we could have made it more concise. But this is what also makes the show. The show is the cast is an ensemble, and that's how I felt like walking through that crowd, even though I was working my ass off. It was yeah. like, holy shit. There's little Paulie and little Carmine like walking next to each other. It's like, when's that ever going to happen right. again?
Yeah,
like,
never.
Oh, no, I think
you guys had plenty of people there. We were sad, like being in LA, like we, you know, we're from Tri-State area and like, yeah. we, you know, there are always things that mostly sports related that like, we're always sad that we can't make it to. And we definitely were like upset that because we yeah, absolutely would have been there. Absolutely,
it was just building momentum all along. And when that was coming, man, I was like, so much stuff happened along the way, man. It's like this guy reached out to us and like heard our story and like wanted to do a documentary. And we're like, so now we're filming a documentary. It's like we're in New Jersey and like we're talking about like shots and, you know, leaving the hotel room. And here comes this guy, and I'm like, I have to like pinch myself like every 5 seconds. Like, dude, like I'm like a fan, you yeah. know, first and foremost. And it's like the fact that these guys, like I'm talking to Patsy, or like the moment I met Johnny Sack was like, that he's been my favorite character. Yeah. Like I said, my first episode I watched by myself was The Wait.
Yeah.
And he's just a great so character. Good. And
obviously Federico like was like the closest with you guys because he was involved in the process more, but besides him, like who, like, was Vincent Caratolo like your the favorite person that you met?
It was just like a cool like again, it's like I think I turned to Joe a few different times during the whole experience, and I'm like, I'm dead, right? You know, this is like, you know, we're just Sopranos fans, and like, who knew that this could be possible? Like, yeah. we're taking these guys to like Complex and Barstool Sports, like just to like go on like these media runs for the yep. con, and I've never even done an event before. You know, I'm being fully transparent.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
I've organized people, and I've given jobs, and I've helped execute tasks before, obviously, but these guys were versed in it. Like I've done events, like, trust me, it's once it's over, you're going to be so relieved. But it's one of those things where I look back on it was like, I was planning my own wedding or something, man. It was just a very, very crazy, hectic 2 days, like much of a blur, but very much like a holy shit, we did it. Like yeah. it was over.
Yeah.
And it was just something we couldn't, you know, it's just unbelievable experience, you know, got to get to hang out with these people, and now they know who we are. And, you know,
and you got like, I mean, I think the coolest part too is just like, having gotten all these Sopranos fans together in one place is,
dude, of course,
is awesome. Awesome.
Dude, I mean, we saw where the people were coming from. Like, we had people come from Australia, and we're yeah. like,
that's,
I mean,
it's just a fit.
You saw Sonny posted for Sonny New Jersey, you know, like to come to this event. Like, but we just knew that the Meadowlands was somewhere we had to do it. Yeah. Just it fit into the show so well. And like,
totally.
You know, anyone from, we have to target New York and New Jersey. If anybody, it's probably like a drop in the bucket when they say, oh, you can only fit 10,000 people in here. And we're like, okay, well, 10 to 20,000 people is like a drop in the bucket for Sopranos fans in New Jersey, right? I mean, right. New York. So, yeah. I mean, more people will come in. We just weren't expecting so many people to come from like the UK and Ireland and just everywhere.
Man,
just,
I will say like since we've like in the short time we've been doing the podcast and making our not time immemorial worthy memes. it's such like we've really like been so like happy with the fans that have reached out to us, and it's such a great fan base.
No, it is. It really is. And I try to support any Sopranos account that I see, other than the one I was talking about earlier. I try to support pretty much like as much as possible, because that's what it is. I mean, it's a community at the end of the day, and we all love the same show. We all want to be able to just
geek out over
keep Sopranos. Spreading the word. Geek out of it and keep spreading the word over the show. It's like,
I'm curious, like, have you seen a bump in followers or engagement on any of your socials since the quarantine happened? Because I feel like The Sopranos is having a moment with this year, with everybody being stuck inside their homes and either watching for the first time or revisiting again. Have you like felt any effects of that, do you think?
I mean, look, I've been trying to not pay attention to the numbers for a while. Sure. There are times that I have to for SopranosCon, but there's been times where that was like the only focus, and that's when it's not fun anymore. I'll wake up some days like, dude, what am I doing? Like, I'm running a Sopranos fan meme page. Like, what the fuck? Like, you know, I have a wife and four kids now. It's like being able to say, like, I followed this road as long as it would take me, but like, you know, telling people like, oh yeah, he's like, you know, he's working like doing Sopranos events, you know, it just sounds very like grow up-ish, obviously, but I have those mornings, and it all circles back to like, you know, this is just a fan base.
Do you have a different relationship with the show now that you're a father, because you know so much of the show is spent, you know, talking about fatherhood?
I've been able to watch this from a few different lenses, I'd say. You know, over my course of, you know, travel around the sun or whatever, however you want to put it. But it's definitely, look, when I was younger watching the show, I'd be like, oh man, I'm going to be like that with my kid, or I'm going to do this, I'm going to say that. Like, once you are a father, you know, it's like, obviously I can't take advice from Tony Soprano as like the father figure, you know, like that's when I think,
come on, nothing you can't solve, just bringing a pie home. Come on.
Right. Well, I mean, I think, growing up, you watch the show from a lens of like, or perspective rather, of like, you know, like he's the main character, you're kind of supposed to side with him, but like you'll notice as time progresses that like the fans like think that like whatever he does is okay, and that's kind of like not the point, you know, like when you step back and like really think about the show and like what the purpose of it is, not so you can glorify these guys, and in some aspects we're always going to do it, but obviously that's why episodes like college and university even were made to like remind us of that. Like, these are not good people.
Right.
They're not supposed to be role models. Yes. You're not supposed to be racist. And you know, some of it's great though. The family value parts, like the traditions, you know, like just the unconditional love that you see in the scenes now, definitely as a father, you're like, oh man, like that's really, he probably had a really special moment with them growing up. I mean, they grew up in the show, you know, like as these characters, and it's gotta be a great experience, like, you know, looking back on it.
For sure.
One last thing. Joe can cover his ears. Before we jump into fucking internet, Paul and I are very big Dave Matthews Band fans.
Oh dude.
I know that you're a Dave fan. I know that you posted a pic like when you met Dave. Are you still a big fan? Like, have you like gone to see them a number of times, or?
Dude, like when I was so I lived in England when I was like from like 6 to 10, and I got like really into the Beatles, obviously.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
When I came back, you know, I was adjusting to growing up on like an English neighborhood or British neighborhood and a military base. And now like where I'm from, like the kids and, you know, like how things are here. And I was just very much into music. I played drums and I like wanted to like write and all kinds of, you know, art stuff. And I remember like them, the first time I heard them, I'm like, oh wow, like this is like a great blend of like instruments. Like, this is awesome. Right. Like, they're not like the average rock band. So they were like the first band I was like literally obsessed with, like pretty much throughout like my entire teenage years. I must've saw them like 20, 25 times, you know, And then that led to like Fish and, you know, mm-hmm. that what goes down that road from there, like as a teenager. Right. I still stay loyal to their projects, but oh my God, man, if you're a fan like of Dave, I still laugh when I see him in Adam Sandler movies and stuff like that. But when I saw him, we were just at our hotel. We had been stopping at the same hotel for the last however many weeks, every time we're up in Jersey at Sea Caucus is where we're staying at the Meadowlands Expo Center. And I'm outside talking to the film guys and I'm talking to the team. I'm like, dude, like we don't have enough cameras. Like we want to do this documentary and like, we need more cameras on us. Like if things were captured, we had someone on us on time. Like we'd have so much B-roll that we could pick through and, you know, who knows what could be in these stories. Mm-hmm. And then like, they're like, okay, we hear you. Like not taking me seriously. And like, I turned to go to my car, like to get a new shirt. We're like going to like a James Gandolfini reunion thing where we were meeting his sisters and everything. Oh, wow. And they saw me in a shirt. They're like, you probably should maybe just bring a change of a shirt in case someone else thinks that it's offensive. And I it was just Tony in a bathrobe with ducks. I was like, fine, dude, I'll go get a fucking shirt. Like, you know, like whatever. And I'm appeasing them. I walk up and I see this, it was like, I guess it was like a Rolls Royce, like a new one. Like I'd never seen one of these things. It was like, so like, dude, that car's worth like $1 billion kind of like feeling right, as yeah. if I drove by. And I'm not really thinking much of it, but the guy's like walking towards me and he's like kind of like staring at me. And I'm like looking at him, like as he was maybe like a foot away, he like nodded and I was like, I like stopped walking and he's like past me. I'm like, hold on a second. You're who I think you are, right? And he's like, oh, hello, I'm David. You know, nice to meet you. And I'm like, holy shit, goes, man. Oh, my God, I grew up on you, man. Like,
Wait a minute. Like, you're time immemorial.
Yeah, right? I told him about what we were doing, and he's like, you know, pretending to act interested, you know. But I at least got to tell him, like, dude, like, you've been, like, you know, my primary, like, musical inspiration, like, growing up. And, you know, been a huge fan since as long as I can remember. So it read, you know, that was,
yeah,
you
know, dude, that's so funny. Your article,
dude, got to be able to say that. But yeah, looking back and I'm like, wow, like the most famous person like I met along yeah. this road was Dave Matthews that day. I get in the car. I'm like, dude, I told you should have had cameras on me, man. I just met Dave Matthews. They're like, what the fuck?
There's probably not a whole lot of crossover between Sopranos fans and Dave. I mean, yeah. there is some, but
I definitely wouldn't be like, oh, well, yeah, of course I would see him in Secaucus. You know what I mean?
right.
He's always saying
that. I probably blew his cover on Instagram, like yeah. telling the fans like where he is. Like I'm like tagging the hotel, like, dude, this is where he is. He's doing a show tonight, 2 hours away.
That's great.
So, yeah, man, but that was I was probably more starstruck when I met Vincent Curatola, but that was like, yeah. dude, like at least I was expecting to see Vincent. I was not expecting to see Dave Matthews in New Jersey.
And and DMB had Vincent Curatola guest on the show that night, right?
right.
Yeah, he played the flute.
Yeah. You know, Vincent's actually a jazz guitarist, you know, like
oh, wow. is he really?
Yes, he is.
Is he for real?
Yeah, no, for real.
I thought that was a joke.
Wow. No, he's a jazz guitarist and he's a pretty talented guy.
Yeah, I mean, he was guesting on that show. He was in that Dave Matthews show.
yeah, they brought him on for Jimmy thing.
That's not a joke you were making. That's an observation.
That's right. we've talked many times on this podcast about how, I mean, he by far, he is the most underrated cast member. Like he should be mentioned in the same breath as Gandolfini. I mean, he's fantastic.
And it was like his first real like acting gig.
Yeah.
We're talking about AJ now, right?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Robert Eiler.
Yeah.
Hey, man.
No, dude.
I'll come to think that Robert Eiler. Like, by the end of the series, like, he was.
Some fantastic acting moments.
Dude, I legitimately thought that they had, like, a kid in the writer's room or something for a while. And I got to talk to his mom, and she was like, dude, I mean, well, she didn't say dude, but she says that a lot of what you see. According to her now, I'm just saying this now, this is according to her. A lot of what you see from his performance is David Chase and the other writers like kind of like asking him, like, what would kids do? And I mean, you know that the best show is like they say, like they hold a mirror back at you. And so when I'm watching this show in like my, you know, like early 20s for the first time, you know, it's like, wow, like I know that kid. Like I grew up with a lot of people like that.
I probably would just be like, I think like, my character would probably just like have a lot of sex.
You know, people are like, oh, why isn't he a badass? Like his dad, he could have taken over. And like, you know, it's like, dude, that would just make it like any other, you know, like mob story though. Like if you really want to get deep into it, it's that AJ is the way he is because of Tony, the guy that, like I said earlier, people idolize for 100%. Like the most. So it's a great circle, you know, like the whole thing is like a reference to itself, like everything all the way around, like up until the ending.
And the generations like are continually getting more and more sensitive and like sort of self-aware. So like, you know, Tony is way more like, you know, self-aware. I mean, the fact that he's in therapy, like his father would have fucking beat the shit out of him if like he knew that, you know, like.
Right. And then at the end, he just like was there like sharpening his skills, you know, like just being.
Right. Sundays are not just for Sunday gravy. They're coming back in the NFL with NFL SundayTicket.tv. You can stream every live at a market NFL game every Sunday afternoon on your favorite devices. Plus, Red Zone and DirecTV Fantasy Zone channels never miss your favorite teams and favorite players. No matter where you live, NFL SundayTicket.tv is your key to the most glorious Sundays ever. Use the promo code BLUEWIRE at checkout to get 15% off your subscription. Visit NFL SundayTicket.tv and use promo code BLUEWIRE.
shall we get into fucking
good
internet?
Shit. Let's do it.
Okay, so this is the segment of the show where we gather questions, comments being made about The Sopranos currently on places like Reddit, Twitter, and that's basically it. This first one coming from Reddit, user Alfred5000 asks, was Dr. Melfi a good therapist? And that's it. What do you guys think? At the end of the day, did she do more good than harm with Tony?
I mean, I'll let you guys answer first if you want. I mean, I can always hit it, but
did like well, the question I guess is, you know, she comes to the realization at the end that she potentially could have been, like you just said, sharpening him as a criminal. Like,
I don't think I noticed it until several rewatches later, but it's if you think about it, I mean, she's drinking, you know, like to bring him back, and then she's drinking in between sessions, like while she's about to see him. It's like she's got an unhealthy relationship, obviously, with him as a subject. And usually a general rule in life, if you have to question it, you know, it most likely is not the right decision, you know.
Right.
But she knew the risk getting to it. She fought for him, then she like pushed him away, and then she, you know, she was just, it was probably. Not saying she's not a good psychiatrist, but in terms of a relationship with him and like what she let go and what she ignored and what she enabled.
Yes.
I think that she knew that things were futile, you know, like pretty short into it.
Yeah.
You know, but she probably and I'm not a psychiatrist, but from her perspective, maybe it's incredible, amazing, fascinating, you know, work to study someone like this. But
yeah.
Yeah. She was always just entranced by him. Like she was, like, cause like the first, like once he tries to like ask her out or kiss her, like probably just would be like, I can't see you anymore. Like,
that would be where you responsibly like draw the line and end it.
Right. But she was always just enticed by like, the idea of, being a therapist to a monster.
Like the viewers, like.
Right. Yeah.
It wasn't exactly vicarious. Lamb it. Did you say lamb? And wasn't that exciting? Yeah. No, really, Elliot was right the whole time. Yeah. Really, when you think about it, it's like, that's...
Yeah, right. He's such a prick.
She should have just kept him away and been done with it. Instead, she was just like, she used this moral code. Maybe it really was a gray area for her where it's like, I feel obligated, but I'm also fascinated. You know, there's probably a balance there of the two. So all in all, probably not a great relationship between her and Tony as a from a professional standpoint, but... Not to take away from her abilities as a psychiatrist.
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, he wasn't having panic attacks as regularly as he was in the earlier seasons by the end, because she got him on the right medication and she made him deal with things.
Also, she told him a couple different times what needs to be done before he can like really move on. Mm-hmm. And it was like, she knew that he wasn't going to ever do that. It's like you hold your mom in one regard and you idolize your father when really, like, that's the person you like idolize is the person who's made you who you are, when really, like, that's what you resent. Like, if you admit to that kind of thing, then more insights can open up and you can, you know, maybe break free. I think that deep down, maybe he did want to break free from the life, and that's what all the dreams are about. Like maybe, but get away from the life and be normal, maybe. But the fact that she just kind of kept him on, you know, and just probably no. I'd have to side with no.
Plus, she was so motivated by other people telling her she should stop seeing him too. Like out of stubbornness, yeah. I feel like she kept seeing him, and she was so protective of him because of their shared heritage too. I think, like, you know, she was really like that scene at the dinner party with like her ex-husband and like the like snobs Richard, at her house,
yeah.
And like,
yeah,
and they're right. And they're like,
I like Murano Glass, right?
Right, right. Yeah. And yeah. So I think she was like very possessive of him too.
Yeah. Right. It's kind of like a spite thing. You know, right. Like, well, you guys don't think this is right. I think it is, mm-hmm. You know, I have an opportunity to do this that you're just jealous. Right. That's the kind of professional standpoint maybe she had deep down, but you know, there's probably a whole combination of things really, when you step back and look at it, right. It's just, obviously she's not going to be as interesting as a character. Right.
Right.
Of course. There are college courses about Sopranos and psychology. So
really?
Oh yeah.
No, that true. Doesn't surprise me.
What not
that doesn't
to do.
Surprise me.
Yeah, this next one coming from user Jimmy April. If you were going for April, you missed an E at the end there. Vito as the boss. Do you think Vito would have been an effective boss?
I remember that, like, coming out like in the storyline in season 6 and looking at my friend and that I watched with and being like, dude, it better not be heading that way where he's taking over the, like, even like remotely a threat to take over the family.
Right. Cause the beginning of season 6A, he's saying, he's like, you know, I could be the boss of this family someday, you know,
right.
Like, that kind of shit.
I have, yeah. With now with the weight, you know, I'm a healthy man. With longevity. Yeah. Right. So,
I'm eating carrot sticks now.
Dude, that was so interesting the way they threw that in there. I mean, that was probably the most shocking moment of the entire series when you see that security
His
guard
head pop
with,
up.
Man, yeah, like I remember being with my frat, like I said, my fraternity for season 5, and I see that and I'm like, well, I hadn't seen the whole series all the way through yet, but most of it, I'm like, what the fuck just happened? Yeah. Like everybody had the same reaction, like, oh,
it was so shocking. Yeah,
that was.
Yeah, didn't envision one of the main characters running away to New England to live with a firefighter for you know, a couple
right.
months.
Right.
Totally, I think, where you saw the show going, right?
No.
I think
No. The answer is no.
he would not be a good boss. They sort of they do this sometimes. Like they start a character out one way, and they did it sort of with Bacala too, where they just like they're sort of like a joke when they start off, but then they end up like they must like the actor, like having them around on set or something, and then gradually build them into like real three-dimensional characters like Bacala.
Well, first he was Gino.
Yeah.
Right.
But
well, no, I think that's a good point, because you're supposed, I think if you, most people watch it and they don't even really think about it, like the illusion is that like this world's like ever expansive, mm-hmm. right? It's like it's always continuing, like when you're not there,
right?
You know, there's just there's always somebody else that we haven't heard about that can be brought in. That's like, I don't know where these magical wise guys come from, but they come from somewhere where it's like when they're needed, they show up, and you're just supposed to understand that they're there, right? So that's a good point though, because over the years, like you find like people, you develop a relationship between the character and Tony and like where it's going to go.
Yeah.
And you know, that's people like Richie Aprile and Ralph, they didn't stick around long enough to really be, you know, so people had to go, you know, along the way.
Yeah.
So.
And Vito started out as just like a sight gag, 'cause he was so fucking fat. Like he was a joke. He was like the comic relief. I mean, not that Ralphie's scenes needed comic relief, but you know, he was in that crew and he was sort of like the dumb guy, the dumb fat guy. But then by the time his arc with the whole, you know, being gay and being on a lam came around, they tried to paint him as more of like, okay, he's actually a good earner. And he's actually
the top
like,
earner.
Right,
he's
earners.
Yeah.
So they sort
Tony
of
Tony couldn't have gotten his boat without him, you know. Right. He's a come from behind kind of guy. That's you know, the long and short of it. Yeah. So I mean, I've heard a lot of different stories over like why they put that storyline in. I think that is probably a combination of all the stories that I've heard. So I don't want to.
Yeah, I think that's his idea.
I've heard that too. I'm not gonna. I've heard that too.
And you've heard and conflicting I've heard, stories.
I've heard so many different stories about, but you never really know. Like I said, like a lot of people have come to us like, oh, you should. everyone's got a story to tell. It's very like I said, it's been a fun, it's been an interesting ride, you know, like this whole this whole way through. But what however reason they came up with it, you know, I think that that's where a lot of fans kind of were like, why did we have to take this turn? You know, it's, why is this necessary? But
watching live, I felt like that was the case. And but
I mean, think about it though. I mean, that storyline being included, we still regard it as like the best show ever. Like not even like in contention. It's like, it's undisputed as like the best. So even if you have like a season, you know, with focusing on that where you don't think it's the greatest, right. It's still what, six or seven other seasons that can that still validate it as like the top. So
it's amazing what they've been able to do. I think personally, I think the reason that that storyline wasn't as successful as it could have been was because, like, he, no offense to Joe Gunnarshelly, but like he just didn't quite have the acting chops to pull it off fully. You know, like it felt like a little forced. That's all.
It just, that's probably the only thing to me that felt out of place in the entire series. It's not like the storyline. But first of all, if you're going to be living that lifestyle, it's like, don't you have like some kind of alibi or excuse that you could come up with, like in the scenario that you do get caught, New York, which is like so close to
it's
you
and
like you get all these. It's like, it's a joke. I was here, you know, it's like, I really think that you should have like thought about this more. So knowing that show, The Sopranos, just like is so intentional.
Yeah.
I think that's why if there's anything I felt like was out of sync with the way the rest of the show goes, that would be that.
But you think about it, like there has to have been, just numbers wise, a gay mobster at some point.
Like, they had to address it. I mean, dude, they have addressed so many things that, like, if they try to air that nowadays, it just wouldn't fly.
Yeah.
I mean, like, it's just, they wouldn't let it happen. So
they
got away with a lot. They've covered a lot of ground, and that's why we're still able to, you know, talk about it and meme it. You know, it's still very much relevant.
This one from user Message Machine Broken: worst Wonder Bread WAP/Medigan. Which of these Richie Riches who get their Sunday gravy out of a jar was the most irritating? I'm going to list you guys, all right? The Cusimanos, Dr. Kennedy, Alan Sappinsley, Elliot Kupferberg, Dr. Russ Fagoli, or Sir Kingsley?
Oh, man, that's a really good comprehensive list.
It is. Yeah. I mean, I'd probably say Alan.
Yeah, that was actually like the first thing that came to my mind as you said him is like, his character was made for that. So it's like, if you don't automatically think that when you see him, like you're supposed to hate this guy, like the second you see him like waving and like painting on his balcony. Like, so I think that he's probably, he tried to rip him off. He tried to steal how much money from Tony Soprano? Come on.
Yeah.
Right. We're going to side with Tony on that.
I mean, the payback is incredible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm surprised that Richard isn't in there.
Yeah, that's true. Richard, her ex-husband.
Her ex-husband.
Yeah, but does he count as a Wonder Bread WAP?
No, I guess not. But he's annoying.
He's like a wasp. He's like a wasp.
He's
like hateable. Wasp, yeah. I mean, I don't know. I don't know. But yeah,
he's,
I guess,
hateable.
I would go
But he does. He goes to he's. I mean, he gets Italian American credit. Like, he goes to bat for like their depiction and shit. And
that's really what I've heard a lot when I've been up there locally is that like what we don't get is there was so much pushback from like the Italian community.
There was
when this show aired about like how like, oh, this is a very bad portrayal of who we are as people. And so, you know, now that's thankfully died down like a lot, or otherwise we would be able to have a convention about it.
I wonder if there's more. What do you think the actual numbers are? Is it like more people who are like, oh, this doesn't represent Italians, or more people who are like, yeah, this is us, we're like this, you know, like
it's probably close to even if you think about it. There's probably a lot of people who are like, oh man, like, you heard of Sopranos, I'm who they base the show off of. We've met a lot of people like that, for sure. And so there's definitely those types of fans out there, but there's also a lot where like, yeah, I remember, you know, it wasn't great, but James Gandolfini, love him. You know, it's like, he's pillar in the community still, like an icon there. It's just a very, the way it all went down has just been, God's gotta be a Sopranos fan is all we keep saying.
Yeah.
Coming to that conclusion.
Yep.
I might put my vote in for Dr. Russ Fagoli just because he was so insulting to Tony.
Yeah,
his host.
I mean,
that is true.
That guy totally like lost
that
his.
That guy sucks.
I wouldn't say you were wrong if you said that.
Yeah,
But the winners on this poll is the Cusimanos with 67 votes.
Maybe just because they're like the most well known of all the characters on there.
Probably.
I don't know.
One of my favorite scenes with him is like so like minuscule, but like one of my favorites is when Tony's getting arrested in the morning. She's like, "Will you please talk to his doctor? He's right there. Like, ask him." And he's just like standing there, like arms crossed, like he doesn't even like budge. It's just like he's just standing there, like, "Oh, my mobster neighbor's getting arrested."
Yeah, you know,
like,
right.
Yeah. Haven't prepared for this. Gotta stand in the driveway just stand here. Yeah. But the way he doesn't budge is always it always gets me.
Yeah. Although I will say, like, Cusumano's friends are even worse.
Yeah, they're worse. They're way worse. Yeah. That's who I would include in that. But I don't even know that they were Italian. I think they were just
sausage.
We are definitely not supposed to like those characters. I mean, that's
no.
Oh, they're Sopranos.
They're written and acted so well that like you just wouldn't think you'd have so many fan like intense fan debates online where it's right. like, dude, like that character, fuck him, fuck her, like she was yeah. the worst. You know, like you just wouldn't think that. It's just like a show. Yeah. But I mean, like some people can't separate it, but there's also people who appreciate like the level of acting that makes you feel that. Like that's something that's really untold of, I think, across the other shows. I think maybe probably why we like The Wire so much is that mm-hmm. it's just a level of authenticity of real life as sure. opposed to this formulaic, you know, equation that goes on and builds to a huge like volcanic eruption at the end of like six seasons. You know, yes. that's what we love about the show, yeah. I think.
Can't yep. say it better than that. Yep. We'll end with this last hot take. I want to get your guys' read on.
Oh, I love the hot take.
Yeah, you do.
So this is like a two-parter here. It started with a tweet from at Anna Kashian, looks like some sort of Armenian name. "To this day, I'm confused by the lasting cultural relevance of Sex and the City, a bunch of moderately attractive women who are selfish, careerist, misguided, and have age-inappropriate, kind of overrated style dating totally unattractive men. Maybe I answer my own question." And so our guy with the hot take here, his name's Scotty P, Scott _7791, oh, quote tweeted that and said, "I feel the same way about Sopranos. Without James Gandolfini's incredible acting and charisma, it's little more than a mob soap opera with irredeemable characters, gratuitous nudity, cartoonish violence, and contrived subplots."
Man,
can you guys sound be, like a angry fan with me? Yeah,
doesn't sound like he must likes be, the show.
Yeah, yeah, he must be a lot of fun at parties. Yeah, yeah, sounds yeah. like for sure.
I mean, no, there's I mean, no, like there's nothing.
You probably watched like three episodes in a row.
Right.
If you saw if you saw University for the first time, it's like you already went into it like with a bad opinion. You're like, holy shit! Like I can't believe they just did that. You never yeah. watch it again. But I remember when I watched Game of Thrones for the first time, like, and I'd read those books leading up to it, mm-hmm. and I remember seeing some of the things, you know, I had read before like on the screen being like, wow, like this is a weird show, but eventually
right.
everybody loves it, yeah. you know? So you never really right. know.
Everybody gets
you probably saw like three episodes that made him feel that way in a nutshell.
This guy's obviously just like a big Nip Tuck fan or something. Right. So it's like, yeah, yeah. I wonder what this guy's favorite TV show is.
Yeah. That's what I was thinking. Like, what is he like?
He turn around and say Entourage, which is the male Sex in the City.
Right, exactly.
You know,
yeah.
As much as I love that show too, growing up, I mean, like that is the male Sex in the City.
Right.
Yeah.
Tony wasn't even in a movie like Vince. Vince yeah. was Aquaman, bro. Yeah.
I relate more to like an actor and his like four fucking friends dicking around. Come on. That's what everybody's life is like, right?
Right.
Like, I don't know what sort of mob soap would have a multi-episode arc where the guy's in a coma and leading some sort of mysterious, possibly afterlife, other dimension life where he has a different wife and kids and like gets slapped in the face by monks and like questions, who am I? Where am I going? Like,
I think that some people would just like, they just have an opinion going into it.
Yeah.
You know, it's like they don't really, I mean, we all know that the David Chase wants to be like a film director and a writer. So it's like he mm-hmm. shot them all or he had them all shot like yeah. storyline wise as a film. They stand alone. It's like something that I get tired of things after like a while. And the replay value of this has just been, like I said, I'm 35. It's just been, I can watch it at any time and be like, I'm home right now. Yeah. Like, right. So it's yes. like, that's how it feels.
But it's also like you had said earlier, like you're looking at it through different lenses when you come at it as a 35-year-old, as opposed to your college self or, you know, like, and right, now as a right. dad, like seeing it through different yeah. eyes and reinterpreting it. Like there's no other show that pays off in that
because
respect.
It's not just that you take away the mob stuff. I heard a quote before and it was just like so perfect. It's like, yeah, you take away the mob aspect, you still have like one of the greatest like family stories ever.
Absolutely.
And it's just because it's so much about life. I mean, we all relate to something in that show, if not all of it somehow. Yeah. You know, it's like,
yeah,
the lessons that go on, you know, stuff that we have, you know, we're the stars of our own inner narrative too. Yep. You know, so it's like there's things that we take from the show as like, oh wow, like that's how real it is. Like it's kind of like takes you into that. But yeah, I mean, I'd say that person who wrote that maybe just is more maybe into shows sucks. Like Walking Dead or like Sons of Anarchy.
Right.
You know, like
yeah,
who,
right. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Who knows? Yeah. Not that there's anything wrong. Well, yeah, there's something wrong with Sons of Anarchy, but another yeah, show. Yeah. Not, thank you. You're allowed yeah. to like any show you like. It's just like this show is like you would think after being gone for so long. Yeah. Like you know that show is like the most intentional mm-hmm. of any show that's out there. Like everything's put in there for a reason. The story is just so like the way it connects, and it's just more not about the grand reveal. That's what's so special about it. So that not for everybody, unfortunately. Yep. I mean, you go on Facebook, Game of Thrones has like 20 million followers. Sopranos has like two,
yeah,
you know, like
yeah.
two and a half. So
well, it just sort of change. Missed that boat. But like, well, hey, people, yeah. like the internet, you right? and people like you are taking
it and into, you guys too. I mean, yeah. for real. I mean, like anybody who's willing to put their time out to make a podcast, a meme page, a fan account. I mean, like that shows you how much the show has impacted you, right? That there are yep. other people like listening and engaging with you.
For sure.
So it's a great fan community to be involved with, dude. And actually, you know, that helps Definitely. Me segue into something. Like I've been talking about the con and everything, and I just forgot to bring it up this whole time, is that this whole quarantine is that we've been understanding that we can't do another event for a while. Mm-hmm. So we pivoted to like, what if we were to hold some virtual events? And mm-hmm. that led to like, let's build a website or an app that like brings a convention experience to the fans, break it down by fandom or, you know, interest, mm-hmm. following, whatever. And since we have this relationship with Sopranos cast members now, like that's where we're starting. So we're launching this app on James Gandolfini's birthday of this moment. You know, hopefully that doesn't pin us and lock us down for sure. But that's what we're shooting for. But it's going to be a place where you can do like the convention experience stuff, but also be interacting like you would on Facebook or Reddit with cast members from the show. That we've got like 10 to 20 of them already signed up, and we'll be doing like live events, live streams. We can have you guys on to do like podcasting and everything else. I mean, it's going to be a place for the community.
Love that.
That'd be amazing. Just talk about Sopranos and we'll see where it takes us. But you know, maybe we will add things like Walking Dead and, you know, any fandom can be added to this.
No. No.
I'm not knowledgeable enough about the show to talk about it. I mean, like I did watch a season of it, and it made me like every time I drove down the highway, I'd look in the field and I'd be like expecting to see a zombie like walk in there. But
yeah,
Joe, how's your Arliss podcast going?
Oh, dude, we're building an app too. It's got one follower.
Cool.
The guy who played it's Robert Wall. The guy Robert, who played Arliss.
Yeah, yeah, we're going to launch it.
Also on James Gandolfini's birthday for no reason.
Yeah, on James Gandolfini's birthday.
There's no connective tissue there, but, you know, I figured, you know, like, why not?
Yeah.
That's awesome. And what's the site?
Virtualcons.com was where it will launch. So
I love it, man.
Maybe nice. By the time this puts out, an email list will be up there where you can sign up for alerts and all that kind of stuff. But we'd love to have you guys involved for sure.
Yeah, we'd love that. And for those of you who don't know where to find you, if you're listening to this podcast, I would imagine they do. But where can people find you on the internets?
On Facebook is The Sopranos Time Immemorial. And on Instagram and Twitter, it's @TimeImmemorial_.
Awesome, great. Awesome, awesome. Dan, thank you so much for coming on. This is a blast. We could talk to you for a very long time.
Yeah.
We'll have you on again.
Yeah. Come back. Maybe we can do like an ep with you and John.
Maybe we should do the wait.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you want to come back. Yeah. Cause usually we're talking about a specific episode. So if you want to come back and talk about the wait or talk about test stream, we'd love that. So
let's do it. Yeah. I'm free. Anytime you guys need me, I'll be back on. So
awesome.
Sounds like a good time.
Beautiful.
Cool.
And listeners, you can always hit us up at osopranospod@gmail.com. You can message us @osopranospod on Twitter, Instagram. Let us know what you like, what you don't like. Leave us a 5-star review. As always, even if you fucking hate us, give us 5 stars and then be like, this is shit. Like, fuck you guys. But give us 5 stars.
I think I'm gonna do that tonight, on. I think.
Beautiful. Yes. See? Nice. Dan's going to do it. So
I'm going to give you 5 stars, and then
say, this is shit. Yeah.
That episode with Time Immemorial was absolute shit, dude. It was like,
garbage.
What was that?
Garbage. Barely talked about memes.
You call this entertainment? Yeah, no.
Dan,
awesome.
Thank you. I was always like, right before we go, I was like, you know, we've been talking about like, oh, if The Sopranos had existed like in the pandemic, you know, what would it be like now? And I think it would be so funny to have a scene where Georgie shares a meme with Tony and he like gets hit over the head like with like a bucket of ice or something. Because Georgie, I think of all the characters, Georgie would love memes the most.
Yeah, probably. And Tony would probably hate memes the most, yes. Obviously. Like he'd be like,
fuck is a meme.
Yeah, two jerk offs in a, you know, chat room.
Yeah, right.
So,
well, good shit. Thank you for all that you've done for the Sopranos community, because you're amazing.
Thank you, man. Yeah.
So. It's the strangest compliment I've ever received, but thank you so much. I've got it and I love it. Thank you. Thanks for
having
me.
Awesome. Thank you, man. Be well. Be well.
Oh. Do I just leave out of the room here? Is that how it works?
You leave. Sure. You can, yeah.
Then get the fuck out of here.
Get the fuck out of here.
See you guys.
Thanks.
All right. Until next time, gang. Ho!
Hello! The wait is finally over. Football is back. You might not be at a game this year, but you can still be in on the action at BetOnline. BetOnline is going the extra mile to make sure that you can get in on every possible chance to win this season. From game spreads and totals to team, player, and coaching props, BetOnline gives you more options to wager than anywhere else. You can get in on their season opening bonuses today and start off wagering on wins, division, and championship futures all day, every day. Head to BetOnline today and take advantage of all the great sign-up bonuses. Don't forget to use the promo code BLUEWIRE at betonline.ag. That's BLUEWIRE, all one word. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts.